It's time, Fort Wayne. Your sports, your station. It's the Sports Rush with Brett Rump. Covering all the topics that hit a nerve here in the Summit City.
Clark, 11-yard touchdown!
Only on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Now, here's your host, Brett Rump.
The greatest, most interesting, most important person of all time.
You are incredible!
Well, listen to me, I'm older and I'm wise.
Yeah, well, you're half right.
What is this, amateur hour?
This is going to be huge.
I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Just when I think you've said the stupidest thing ever, you keep talking.
I think that's the worst thing I've ever heard.
That boy ain't right.
The simplest way to put it, I have problems.
Welcome to the alleged show.
Yeah, I'm grateful. Scratch that, baby, I'm grateful. Gotta say it's really been a while, but now I got back the smile. I'm so grateful.
Oh, Mother Nature's turned up the thermostat. It is a hot one, and it's going to be this way all week long. Buckle up, get ready to go home with the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump, along with Adam Lundy. Big Tuesday show that feels like a Monday show, because we didn't have a Monday show. Now, when you have three-day weekends, okay, how does it fall? Does Monday feel like Monday, like you're getting a day off work, or does it feel like somehow you ended up on Monday and it felt like Sunday? So when you went to work on Tuesday, you didn't realize you just had an extra day, right? Because it's like, well, yesterday is Sunday, today's Monday. I don't know that I actually got the extra day, because that's the way I feel. My body is telling me today is Monday, but the calendar is telling me today is Tuesday. And then I have to go back through and think, what did I do with that extra day over the weekend? Because I certainly don't remember doing anything special with it. I stayed busy, right? Yeah. Saturday, Tincast baseball. Sunday, Tincast baseball, day game, which would have been like a Saturday. So that would have been like a Friday, Saturday for me, having baseball on Saturday night and Sunday afternoon. It was like a Friday, Saturday. And so then Sunday would have been my Monday, or Monday would have been my Sunday. And then today I'm at work. So it doesn't feel like I got the extra day over this weekend. So I might just have to take the day tomorrow, because I think I got cheated. My body isn't aware of the fact that I got an extra day this weekend. Hopefully everybody got rested, enjoyed their Memorial Day holiday weekend, took a moment to remember what the holiday is about and its significance, and enjoyed some sports, because there was plenty of it, all different sports, a wide variety of sports this weekend, and we've got a lot of it covered. What were you up to?
Well, let's see. Saturday I did, you know, Not a whole lot. I hosted Talkin' Sports in the morning.
Oh yeah, I should have listened.
You know, I'm not gonna say you didn't miss out on much, but
I don't even know what I was doing Saturday morning. I can't remember what I was doing, so I feel bad, because I was planning on listening and then maybe didn't. But I'll catch up to it.
Yeah,
on the podcast, right?
I don't know about that.
Oh, okay. We didn't save it for anything.
Doesn't need to be saved necessarily.
There was no reason to go back and critique it. We're good.
But yeah, Saturday was that. And then Sunday I did the morning show on WoWo, and I did the Tin Caps game here in the studio. And then yesterday was just a lot of chilling, honestly.
Nothing happened?
Nothing really, no. Yeah, just a lot of chilling at home. Watched the hockey. I watched the NBA Game 7 between the Celtics and Heat yesterday.
See, I had to plan my grocery shopping for Monday. Normally, I go like early Saturday morning. My favorite time to go is like 6:30, 7 a.m. on Saturday morning, because it's not busy. Mm-hmm. I can go run in, grab the stuff. A lot of times, shelves are just recently stocked, so everything's out. You get a look at the new bakery items and, you know, that kind of thing.
The cinnamon rolls.
Yeah, get a first dibs on the cinnamon rolls. But I like to go early Saturday morning. And this week I purposely decided I'll go on Monday. That will get me up and going on Monday, so I don't just sit on my butt and watch TV all day and never even get out of the house. And so I got up, went to the grocery. Then I went home and sat on the couch and never got up watching sports. But anyway, no, it was a very quick weekend. It just seemed like watching the different sports. Last night, of course, watching the NBA, a lot to take in. Of course, the race on Sunday, And maybe that's why I feel like I lost a day, because I had to tape the race because I was doing the tin caps. So I taped the race and then watched it when I got back. So I actually had tin caps baseball up until like 3:30, 4 o'clock, and then watched the race from 4 until about 9 o'clock. And then what was on Saturday night? Was that hockey? Was that was basketball, right? Saturday night was hoops. That was game 6.
I don't remember.
Saturday night was game 6 because last night was game 7.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so then I watched the basketball after I had watched the race. So it was a rather full Saturday, but Joseph Newgarden ends up winning the one lap feature.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, we're going to line up. Here's the order we're going to line up, and we're going to race one time around and see who wins.
Yeah.
It's definitely a race to the finish line.
Definitely was a decision that the committee had to make, and I know that they were making it for the fans, but I know that there's probably some of those racers there that weren't super thrilled.
But what's the resolution?
Yeah.
Okay, because let's start with this first. Doug Bowles absolutely does not want the race to be anything but 500 miles. He was on with Kevin and Query on Monday morning, day after race day. And, geez, those guys had to work. didn't want to tell them we had the day off.
Oh, poor guys.
Our good boss here gave us the day off, figured everybody would be busy with other activities, and I'm sure they were. But Doug Bowles, the IMS president, he was on with Kevin and Query, and he said, the finish probably wasn't ideal, but I think most fans want to see it end under green, and that was our only chance to do it and keep the race at 500 miles. And he threw in, I am a very strong proponent of the fact that this is a 500-mile race. It is only a 500-mile race, and I am not a fan of the green, white, checkered finish that NASCAR uses, because in that case, it would go over 500 miles to get in the three laps. But what's the resolution based on that premise to keep it at 500? I mean, the only thing they could have possibly done was to bring them to a red a couple of laps sooner than they did, because I think they had two laps. They could have gone red and they kept it at yellow to see how long it would take for the cleanup in aisle 5, or at Indianapolis, it would have been turn 2. And thank God that tire that got loose and went in the air and over the fencing at the racetrack, thank God that thing missed the suites and the stands, because there wasn't a big gap for it to shoot through. And it fortunately went through the gap, hit a car, pretty well totaled that car, but it did not hurt, injure, or God forbid, kill anyone, which it could very likely have done if it would have hit any kind of a human presence. So they had that late wreck, and that's the other thing is you know, those last laps when you're coming off yellow, there's such a mad dash, everybody trying to get position and get that draft so they can slingshot around and get the pass on the straightaway. It seems like it's so likely that in those last laps you're going to have somebody who tries something that doesn't work. And, I mean, a couple of guys, Alex Palou, I thought, pulled something stupid and got pinned. And, yeah, maybe he got pinched a little bit, but you also have to understand the guy you're coming up on and you decide to go underneath, he's not going to ride up into the wall just so you can have that low lane. It's just, it's unfortunate they had so many accidents late, but is there an answer? Do any of our listeners have an answer to how Indy can fix it so that you can pretty much get green lap or green flag finishes, but not have a one lap sprint on cold tires, because that was pretty dangerous too. That's, you know, that's going out there and skating around the track at 230 miles per hour. So, but anyway, it ended up being a pretty exciting finish with Joseph Newgarden, local guy, not originally, but kind of makes Indy his home. Joseph Newgarden wins the 107th running of the Indy 500. What else happened on Saturday at the race, or Sunday at the racetrack? It was a madhouse, though. Did you see any of the scenes from the racetrack? I'm a race watcher. You're not.
Not really. I saw some photos of the crowd, and it looked like it was quite the shindig.
I watch, to be quite honest, when I got up on Sunday morning, from about 6 o'clock on, I was watching Indianapolis local TV's coverage of the race, which they aren't listening. It seemed like they were just absolutely flying by the seat of their pants. You know, it's like, let's go to these people. And they're like, hey, we're having a good time and everybody's dressed all festive. And all right, let's go to this guy. Hey, I'm walking past concession stand where people are already buying concessions. And let's go back to the booth. And it just seemed like there was really no production, no planning, no production. Just a bunch of people say, you guys go sit in this booth. You guys go out outside turn one. You guys go out the gates. You guys go to the snake pit. And we'll just keep sending it to you round robin style throughout the. And so it wasn't, I didn't think it was nearly as good a broadcast as I've seen from some of the local productions down in Indianapolis in past years. But I watch and just see what's happening, how quickly the racetrack fills out, what the fans are doing as far as, you know, getting an experience to walk down the track, kiss the bricks. And so I watch that, and then I usually flip it over to the network coverage. And at that point, I had to leave to go to the Tin Caps game when the network was about to start. So I DVR'd it for the viewing later. But I'm locked in. I mean, it's 7-8 hours of watching the Indy 500. I'm not an Indy 500 race fan, but I'm an event fan. I love that race. I mean, I love the Indianapolis 500. Just have never had a strong desire to go fight through the traffic, fight through the crowds.
You almost feel like you almost get a better view of everything on a TV broadcast.
Well, you do. You see all four corners of the racetrack. And, you know, the problem is people that go every year don't realize that. They're thinking, oh, man, I'm seeing it live. I'm smelling that fuel. I'm you know, the burnt rubber. I mean, I'm there. But the reality is you're getting a much better view of the actual race watching it on television. And then for a while, I on the way home, I was listening to the race coverage with Mark James and the race team. Man, the best in radio. If there was such a thing as a radio Emmy for sports broadcasting, that radio team should get it almost every year because they are seamless. How they take you around the track. They paint a picture in your mind. You know who's leading. You know where the battles for positioning are. They do a terrific job. And for those that have listened to this program, of course, Chris Denary has been kind of a regular on our program over the years. And Mark James joins us every year to talk about the Indy 500, kind enough to spend some time with us during race week. And they were fantastic. And so once again, a big congrats to them. If you had a chance to listen to the race in 1380, the Fan, that, I mean, I remember when I was a kid, and Adam, I know that's probably hard for you to imagine, but yes, there was a day and they actually were racing the Indy 500 when I was a child. It wasn't pre-Indy 500. I would sit on our porch with the radio blaring and listen to the race. And the reason I had to sit and listen to 2.5-3 hours of racing was because it was blacked out here in Fort Wayne and didn't get on TV until nighttime. And I bet a lot of our listeners remember that you would listen to it on radio during the day so you could watch it at night. And that's how I grew up. It wasn't until I was an adult that actually I could watch the race in real time, live. And to this day, I think Indianapolis, aren't they blacked out for the race? 46862, if you know, 46862. But that was my Sunday. I enjoyed it. Your thoughts on the race, let us know, 46862, the Parkview Sports Medicine text line.
Yeah, it looks like, as is tradition, the Indy 500 will be blacked out in central Indiana this year.
Yeah, they aired it, and I think because of COVID, and then they aired it, I think, last year. But this year, they went back to the blackout, which caused quite a stir down in Indy. We weren't part of it, so we weren't really privy to it. But they blacked out the live coverage of the race.
Yeah.
For the Indy market.
Yeah, we got a text on the text line, 46862. They said, Sports Rush, we are lucky we could watch the race. If you lived in central Indiana, you were blacked out.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Unbelievable. I don't get that. Do they really think that the 300, I mean, if they took a look at that crowd that shows up, That's not a group. A good number of them is not a group that's going to be happy and content sitting at home watching the race. They're there for the social engagement of it, right? They're there for the party. They're there for the event. They want to be part of 300,000 people all in one place. But anyway, 46862 Parkview Sports Medicine text line. So last night it was game seven. The Celtics had forced game seven. You know, a lot's happened since we've had a show last.
I know. It's almost like we've been gone 3 days.
We're going to talk about game seven.
We got to talk about game six.
We got to go back to game six.
That was crazy.
It was, but anyway, the Celtics forced game seven. Everybody at that point, when they forced game seven, thought, well, that was the chance for the Heat. Unbelievable. The Celtics are going to come all the way back. They're going to come back and win this thing. And whoa. Not so fast, my friend. Yeah, so look what happened. The Heat shocked the Celtics. Not only shocked them, made them look bad.
They embarrassed. Yeah.
I like that word, Adam. Embarrassed a proud franchise on their home floor last night.
In front of paying fans who paid a lot to be there.
A lot to be there.
A lot.
Yeah, I mean, they were saying that seats in the lower levels were going for $20,000 and up.
I love paying $20,000 to watch my team lose.
I don't think a finals game would have drawn that kind of money.
No, I mean, I think this is Boston.
This is Boston versus Miami, an 8 seed. And the thing is, if you're really confident in your team, I'd save the $20,000 and go to a finals game.
Sure.
I wouldn't spend it on seeing game seven.
A possible elimination, yeah.
I'd watch that at home, and of course, I'm not going to go spend $20,000, but for that price tag, I'd say I'll wait for the finals.
Yes, please.
Yeah. 46862. All right, we got to get caught up. There's some big breaking stuff happening after a holiday weekend, a lot of sports news, so let's get caught up. Here we go. Today's top headlines with Adam Lundy.
All right, thank you, Brett. Well, former North Carolina guard Caleb Love committed to...
Let me think. I want to say Missouri, but I'm going to say it's not Missouri.
It's not Missouri. Caleb Love committed to the Arizona Wildcats today. He initially chose Michigan out of the transfer portal before decommitting from the Wolverines due to not having the necessary academic credits. He had drawn some interest from the Indiana Hoosiers as well as other teams, but he will be a Wildcat in Arizona.
You know, there's one thing to say about this, because after the academic issue, of course, we know the reputation at North Carolina with the ghost classes and all.
Yeah.
And then he goes to Michigan, and there's a problem with admitting him into Michigan with the transfer of credits. So clearly there was some academic issues, right? Do you think it's a good look for Arizona or not a good look for Arizona? Because that's the one thing from a public relations standpoint. You're saying, well, he couldn't get into Michigan, but... My gosh, we'll take anybody. I mean, you know that perception.
Yeah, it could be perceived as
just
like
to win basketball
lower
games.
Academics. Yeah, yeah, and you don't necessarily want that. But something to look at as Caleb Love will now be at Arizona. Golden State's Bob Myers, a two-time executive of the year and architect of 4 NBA championships with the Warriors, is stepping down as the franchise president and general manager, he told media today. It's just time, quote, Myers told ESPN. Myers, whose contract expires in late June, declined offers on a new deal that would have paid him among the league's top earning executives.
I think this is a smart move for Bob Myers.
Get out now.
He built it. He nurtured it. He grew it. He got the right coach. He won some championships. But it's time for a new era in Golden State. And if you're not going to see that new era all the way through, then why be the one that starts it? And so I think it's a smart move. It's a professional move. Wouldn't have expected anything less.
All right, two more quick ones for you here, Brett. The San Diego Padres yesterday claimed catcher Gary Sanchez off waivers from the New York Mets. Sanchez, 30, signed with the Mets on May 9th after opting out of his contract while in the minor leagues with the Giants. A longtime Yankee, Sanchez appeared in just 3 games for the Mets after debuting May 21st. He was designated for assignment by the Mets 4 days later.
What, did you put that story in just for the boss? Just New York Mets story just for the boss?
Little Padres story there for you. And Larry Bird is back with the Indiana Pacers, serving as a consultant for the franchise. The Pacers' Twitter page today posted a picture of Bird watching their player workouts from earlier today.
It's interesting to see Larry kind of hanging around after he kind of disappeared for a while. All right, there you go. Today's top headlines with Adam Lundy.
This is Maria Marcassano, head women's basketball coach at Purdue Fort Wayne, and you're listening to The Sports Rush with Brett Rump on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
So many things to try to keep track of at this time of year, because you've got all of the spring sports for high school getting to the postseason at different levels, different degrees. So, I mean, some are having state championships, some are having semi-states, regionals. Of course, baseball over the weekend, you had East Noble and DeKalb both claim sectional titles. I thought I was put into a time warp and taken back to 1979. Do you know that there was a player, and this is a true story, Adam, there was a player that played for DeKalb, and this was a team that made it all the way to the state championship game. His name was Ty Cobb.
I know that name, yeah.
Yeah. Not that same Ty Cobb as the one that you know.
Yeah.
But there was a player, Ty Cobb, that played for DeKalb back in the late 70s. And DeKalb was under Bill Jones, obviously a baseball powerhouse, and then East Noble was right there with them. And so back in those days, East Noble DeKalb was always a huge rivalry, two of the best area baseball teams that we had. And East Noble DeKalb, both sectional baseball champs. And again, I didn't track the scoreboard, but I know just from seeing some tweets, I guess Heritage won, Homestead had a pair of no-hitters from one of their pitchers and ended up getting the victory at Huntington. They beat Southside 10-0 in the championship. But, hey, we're even getting text on some high school teams that are having some success.
Yeah, absolutely. Shout out to whoever texted in to 46862 letting us know that the Leo High School boys rugby team won their fourth state title. Congratulations to the Leo Lions.
And, you know, who knows? Might be a day we have the rugby game of the week with the Pizza Hut Post Game Show coming soon to 1380 The Fan, 100.9 FM. I know now it is softball sectional or softball regionals.
Nice.
And I believe, and someone correct me if I'm wrong, South Adams, are they playing Eastside tonight? I saw something tweeted about Southside. I really don't have the schedule in front of me, and I will be honest, baseball, softball, some of those sports, we don't get the information we get. There is no John Harrell that keeps everybody informed with what's going on, the central point of knowledge. And
yeah.
So you're kind of always trying to chase down who's playing who and where they're playing. But
yeah, it looks like in the Class 2A Regional 18, it'll be Eastside versus South Adams at 5:30.
Okay, where's that at?
Not sure.
Okay.
I do my best.
You got us one step closer, Adam.
Yeah, absolutely.
One step closer than we were. But any high school good news you want to pass along, we're all for it, right?
We'll shout your team out.
Hey, we'll give you a shout out. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line.
Oh.
Speaking of...
I was just saying, I just saw a tweet from Dylan.
Where'd that come from?
Well, I literally, we're talking about this, and I see a tweet on my timeline 8 seconds ago from Dylan Sin. He'll be at Eastside tonight.
Oh, there we go. It's at Eastside.
There you go.
All right.
Thanks, Dylan.
Thank you, Dylan. Also, if he's at Eastside tonight, who's at Parkview Field? Dun, dun, dun. Somebody like Justin Cohn has to work a Tuesday at Parkview Field. What is this?
That's just a dramatic timer countdown.
That's not from Succession, is it?
I believe it's from 24.
Everybody is, that's probably what it is. Everybody is buzzing this weekend about something I have no knowledge about.
You and me both.
Succession.
And then,
I guess it's the must-watch TV series. They had the finale last night. Everybody is just raving.
Yeah. What station is it on?
Is it a HBO Max show?
I think so. That sounds right. HBO? Succession? Yeah, that sounds right. But neither you or I have gotten into it.
We're guessing. We're trying to Google and figure out what's all the buzz about. And it does kind of hit at home, a family that owns a media conglomerate.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, we've got that here.
Yeah.
You know, kind of with Federated Media. So maybe we should be watching this show.
Maybe we can figure out
out our future.
Yeah, some clips.
Figure out where's this future going.
Who's gonna?
We might be greatly disappointed. I don't know. But no, it's Succession, and I guess everybody that's watched it has absolutely fallen in love with it.
It's the hottest new show, that's for sure.
But the Tin Caps, big shout out for them taking 4 of 6 last week against the Lansing Lugnuts. Oh, if they would have gotten 5 of 6, they would have tied Lansing. But unfortunately, they fell 1 short on Sunday, dropping a 2-1 decision. But they did have some really big highlights.
Absolutely.
Back-to-back shutouts. The last 8 innings of Thursday night's game, they also pitched a shutout. So they actually had a stretch going into Sunday's game of 27 straight scoreless innings thrown. And the bullpen, which has been much maligned, we have talked about the problems with the Tin Caps bullpen on this show.
Mm-hmm.
The bullpen deserves a shutout. Because they have now gone, I believe it is 16 1/3 innings of shutout baseball consecutively. They take that streak into tonight's game against South Bend. And Jairo Iriarte, who has had 2 starts that were polar opposites in the last 2 weeks, had a dominant start where he threw part of a no-hitter 2 weeks ago. Last week, struggled at home, gave up, I think, 6 runs. And now he is back on the mound to start this series with the in-state rivals. 6:35 first pitch, 6:15, the Hoopy Insurance Services pregame show right here at 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. While we're on the topic of baseball, real quick, over the weekend, college baseball, NCAA Division I announced their regional pairings, who's invited to the big postseason tournament in college baseball. Of course, this culminates with the College World Series in Omaha. And Indiana State is named as a host for a regional. And regionals are 4 teams at each site. And then the winner of each regional advances to the super regionals, which will be played the following week. And so Indiana State is a host, but also invited to the party. The Indiana Hoosiers and the Ball State Cardinals won their way into the NCAA tournament by claiming the MAC tourney title. So 3 teams that have made it into the NCAA Division I postseason baseball tournament, Indiana, Indiana State, and Ball State, all in the tourney. And Indiana State, Ball State, they will head down to Lexington and take part in the Kentucky Regional. All right, we've got to take a timeout. We come back. Don Dankelson, hopefully we'll catch him before he jumps on his plane. He's heading down to Texas as the Trine Thunder women's softball team wins another Super Regional and goes to the NCAA Division III. Boy, they're going to get tired hearing about all this. Heads to the NCAA Division III National Championships. They'll be the 3rd seed. We'll talk to him about the success they had this weekend at the Super Regional and the team in general when we come back. It's a Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. And welcome back to the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump along with Adam Lundy. And once again, it seems to be a habit now as the Trine women's softball team heads to the NCAA Division III National Softball Championships, or I guess most people would refer to it as the Softball World Series, and heading on down to Texas, and we're able to grab the head coach just before he jumps on the plane, Don Dankelson. And, Coach, I guess if you're going to have a habit, this is not a bad one to have.
No. We're very excited to get back 2 years in a row, and if I lose you, I'm actually on the plane. They're boarding, so I'm doing my best here.
We might lose you at 10,000 feet. Coach, let's talk real quick about what that means to go back-to-back, having that experience from a year ago. How did it motivate this team? How did it help this team?
I think getting back 2 years in a row is huge for experience factor. You know, kids have been through the schedule. They know how the day off works. They know how the community service day works. I just think it's a big thing in our favor. A couple of teams, same thing, but I've just been through this whole experience before, and now we know it's just another day, another game.
And being able to play at home, that has to be huge, too, to be able to get those two rounds in the regional and the super regional, to be able to play them right there on your home field at Trine.
Yeah, we're very fortunate to have a great facility. In-state likes the host. Our staff does an awesome job. You walk out of your own bedroom, you walk on your own field. It doesn't have a postseason feel to it. It has a regular season feel to it. You know the surroundings. You're just used to it. And just think it's a great advantage for us to be able to have those rounds at our place.
And let's talk about this team and what makes them unique and so special as you head down with a 40-4 record to Texas. Anna Capel, is that right?
Capel. Yep. Very Capel. Close.
She's in the circle for you. Do you have an ace? Would she be considered your ace?
I don't know if we'd even call anybody an ace. We always talk about we have a staff, and, all four of them have been just great all year long.
Because you've played a lot of different pitchers. So what do you have as far as that staff? What are some of the traits that you have that have made your pitchers so successful this year?
Well, Keppel doesn't throw it quite as hard, but she really spins it well. She can go up, down, and out. I call her a robot. I mean, hit the spot here, she hits it like throwing darts. And then Debbie Hill, the freshman's been great. Just got named the NFCA Freshman of the Year National Award about 10 minutes ago, came out. Debbie throws really hard. She's probably 61 or 64, lefty, can really locate the ball as well. Starting to throw a changeup better, which has been huge down the stretch. And then Alexis Michon was D3 pitcher of the year, transferred in. She can make the ball really, really dance late and throws really hard again, 60-63. And then Lauren Clausen hasn't thrown as much, but she's also, she's kind of more like a closer role, throws extremely hard. She's 61-63 again. So we have several different options, the four that I got the most innings this year, to really come at you and attack hitters different ways.
And, you talked about Debbie Hill and the year she's had as a freshman. Wow, you want to talk about a difference between last year's team and this year's team. Debbie Hill is certainly somebody who's provided not only a spark in the circle, but a spark in the batter's box. Has been terrific, hit a big home run in that regional this weekend.
Yeah, she's been something that we knew we were missing last year. We need another big bat in the lineup, and having a six-foot lefty lineup that has tons of power. And not even that, she hit 571 NCAA play so far, over 448 of the season, which, leads us in hits and RBIs and home runs. Just, a very welcome addition to our staff.
When, you've got obviously a successful culture going right now, back-to-back years going to the elite round of the NCAA Division III tournament. A lot of times I think programs are built on a foundation of kids that maybe didn't reach this type of success, but they built kind of the culture and laid the groundwork for what success you've had. At what point during your tenure did you start to realize this program is where or is heading where I want it to be?
I don't remember what year it was. I just know we got in the NCAA tournament a couple of years in a row, and we just weren't winning games, and finally we kind of broke through, and I just feel like, good players brought better players. And then the culture started to really take shape, and you could just see them really caring about each other and taking that next step, and all of a sudden just kind of exploded where it is today. And it's just awesome to see the hard work of all the years pay off.
Well, good luck, Coach. It sounds like the plane's just about ready to take off down the runway, so we don't want to keep you. But you've got Rowan University in the first game, scheduled for 6:30 Central Time, which would be 7:30 here on Thursday. Do you know anything about them? Have you done any scouting at all on Rowan?
Yeah, we've been watching film for days. We have some sources we've been speaking with. We played them last year in Florida, same pitcher, I believe. So we have a really good idea of going in, what they're going to do and how they're going to try to attack us and how we're going to try to attack them. And I think it's a really good matchup for us. It's one of the couple of teams that I was hoping we would draw. And I think it'll be a great first game, but I really like our chances to advance on top.
Well, good luck to you, Coach. Have a safe flight, safe trip, and successful trip. We'll be pulling for you back here in Indiana.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it.
Yep, that is Don Dankelson, coach of the Trine softball team. And nothing like getting on last minute.
Yeah, we definitely caught him at the last possible time we could there. I mean, you could hear the flight attendant in the background probably saying, hey, shut your phone off.
Yeah. Well, it's like, okay, is the door closed or is it open? Can we keep talking to you? You know, are you at 10,000 feet yet where your phone's going to go out? But no, he was nice enough to jump in at knowing that we weren't going to have a whole big window here to talk to him. And really appreciate him making an effort to talk to us. Well, obviously, it's a noisy airplane. Everybody excited. They're making the big trip to the Softball World Series. So I know there's a lot of excitement there.
Absolutely.
And they've been terrific this year. I mean, they had a dominant weekend over Concordia and Concordia of Wisconsin and beat them in the championship after they took the first game. Then they beat them in the championship game 7-2, 12 hits, only 5 for Concordia, Wisconsin. I mean, basically made it very clear they were the best team head to head. And so now they are on a flight down to, what is it, Marshall, Texas, Eastern Texas Baptist University is where the 2023 NCAA Division III Softball Championships will be held. And once again, they will start as the 3 seed. They're going to take on Rowan University in that first game scheduled for 7:30 Thursday night, June 1st, 2 nights away. So best of luck to Trine.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll definitely be pulling for them down in Texas. And yeah, hope they can bring home that chip.
Bring back that big trophy. All right, we've got a busy day. And hopefully earlier today, you had a chance to hear our debut of Indiana Sports Beat with Jim Coyle. Of course, he's been doing this show for a long time. And we just happened to kind of get a partnership and so that he can be on right before the sports rush from 3 to 4. And his show, as you probably have learned very quickly, is focused very much on Indiana sports, and it's focused very much on Indiana University. He's got a real passion for the Hoosiers, and so you're going to get a lot of Indiana basketball. I know he's got some big regular guests that he will have. Of course, Mike DeCourcy already on the show today. And so Mike DeCourcy, of course, does a lot of work with the Big Ten Network, but he also is somebody that joins Jim Coyle on a regular basis. So that is our new show. If you missed the announcement at the end of last week, it is on every day, Monday through Friday, right before the sports rush from 3 to 4. So if you listen to our show, you might want to just jump in a little bit early, get a little extra local sports flavor from 3 to 4 o'clock. With Indiana Sports Beat and Jim Coyle. So what else do we have going on? Coming up later, we're going to be talking to Tin Caps manager Jonathan Matthews. Good week for the Tin Caps.
Yeah, they had a great series against the Lansing Lugnuts. They won 4 of 6 in that one, and they're going to, yeah.
Won 4 in a row at one point.
Yeah.
I mean, after losing the opener, then they lost the finale, but they've won the 4 games straight in between. Had a 27-inning streak without allowing a run.
Is that a win sandwich?
Yeah, I think so. Some kind of a series sandwich.
I like it.
And it was the same guy that pitched both games for Lansing. So I guess if you take him out of the rotation, the Tin Caps could have swept the series. But the same guy beat him both games on Tuesday, the series opener. And then he came back on Sunday and kind of silenced the Tin Caps bat. Good 2-1 game to finish off the series. So it wasn't like they got blown out or hammered or anything like that. They got beat in a 2-1 game, and tip your cap to Lansing, move on to the next, which is South Bend. The Cubs are in town.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of local fans go to these games because they want to see future Cubs, and this is your chance, because now the crazy Midwest League, the way they divide the line between East and West, South Bend is actually part of the West. And Fort Wayne, of course, part of the East, which means they're not even divisional opponents. They don't play as much. And so this is your rare opportunity to catch the South Bend Cubs at Parkview Field, and got games tonight at 6:35, got another one tomorrow night at 6:35, and then it moves into Thursday and Friday, 7:05. Am I getting the times right, or have they switched it yet?
No, I think you still got it.
I want to make sure that I'm getting the times right, because...
Yeah.
Okay, because at some point I wasn't sure if they were going to stick with that 6:35 start on Tuesday, Wednesday, or if they would go to 7:05 every night, because now the kids are out of school, right?
Sure are.
Don't have to have those early nights unless you're doing it for the adults and the older adults, which, of course, we have to work all summer. So anyway, 46862 is Parkview Sports Medicine text line. If you got questions, comments, or suggestions. But games Thursday and Friday will start then at 7:05. And then on Saturday, it is 6:35 with fireworks to follow. And then on Sunday, the finale of this two-week homestand, 12 games, 13 days, as they will have the first pitch at 1:05 p.m. on Sunday afternoon. But it's the Tin Caps and the South Bend Cubs down at Parkview Field, and it looks like the weather, you can't complain about it being too cold, I'll tell you that.
You sure can't.
Temperatures are going to be pushing 90 about every day this week.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully it'll cool off a little bit as the sun starts to set out there at Parkview Field, but still a beautiful night for baseball pretty much every night of the week.
Well,
so.
That's the thing is that you get 88, 89, and it's not terribly humid, and then the sun goes down, it ends up being just perfect.
Beautiful.
I mean, it's exactly the temperature you want it to be. High 70s.
No jacket.
No jacket required.
That's what I like to hear.
No jacket. Don't have to worry about taking a jacket. You almost feel, you know, at this time of year, you almost feel naked when you leave the house and you've got your, you know, shorts and a shirt and you're not putting a coat on or you're not,
yeah.
You know, it's like, wait a minute, this doesn't feel right.
Yeah, especially because I'm one of the guys that puts like all their keys and their phones in their jacket pockets.
Oh, so you got to find more pockets.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're the cargo pant guy because you got to have all those pockets.
Normal pants, but I feel weird not having my.
I think that might be the point of cargo. You know, when you is all the pockets, right?
Yeah, definitely. But they're not very stylish right now, are they?
I don't know. It's weird because they keep saying it's not the style, but yet a lot of people wear them. They still sell them.
I think it's like a dad thing.
Well, maybe that's why I'm out of tune with it. I mean, I just was at the store and they're selling them.
Oh, sure.
So they can't be that out of fashion or the stores wouldn't be showing them to sell them this summer.
Maybe we ask the text line about it, 46862. Yeah. What are your thoughts on cargo pants?
Get our fashion advice. Am I going to be okay to wear the cargo pants without people making fun of me behind my back, which they already do. But I don't really know because they are very convenient. Like if you're going to travel,
got
to have the wallet, you got to have the boarding pass, you got to have all that stuff. It's like, man, you want to have pockets. You know, that's one of the things with traveling with the Mastodons is they've got travel gear or travel wear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like a sweatsuit that you wear to travel and to fly. The problem is a lot of times they don't have enough pockets. They've got like one pocket.
Yeah, they're going for comfort.
They're going for the look and the style and the comfort.
Not utility.
Yeah, but not practicality. You know, to me, it's like, okay, give me a pocket for my keys. Give me a pocket for my boarding pass. Give me another pocket for my wallet. I want to make sure I've got pockets for everything. And it's like, I don't have enough pockets. And then the other problem I've got, I don't know if you ever have this experience, is short pockets.
Mm-hmm.
Where you put something in your pocket, and then when you sit down, you're afraid it's going to slide out of your pocket.
Yeah, like half of your phone is sticking out of the top when you sit down.
Or your keys will just slide out, or you got money that will slide out because you got short pockets, right? That's a real problem because if you're flying, last thing you want to do is have something fall out of your pocket and then have that plane disappear and not be able to track it down and get it back. And maybe it's keys to your house. Maybe it's keys to the car. I mean, it's like I'm always really leery of some of those travel suits that the Mastodons wear because the pockets aren't deep enough and there's not enough of them. So I got like 8 things stuffed into one pocket, which does give you a different look.
Don't want that.
Looks like you've got some kind of tumor growing out your groin. We will take a time out. We've got another hour coming up on the way. On the other side, we're going to have Jonathan Matthews. He'll talk to us about 5:15, 5:20. Also, news from the NBA. One of the teams looking for a coach seems to have found theirs, and he's pretty familiar because he came from another team. Well, we'll explain it, and we'll talk about it coming up. It's all part of the Sports Rush Tuesday edition. Trying to avoid saying Monday. Tuesday edition here at 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.